Welcome back, everybody, to another...
Well, not another.
It's technically another.
I don't know.
It's just been a while since we've really done one.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it like a restart because we have like three episodes or say it's a restart that never released.
Yeah.
That are still sitting in my computer.
Let's just call it what it is.
Welcome back for another Called Shots cast.
There you go.
Perfect. I'm Jason.
I'm Kevin.
And today... We're going a little deep.
A little deep?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
We're going a little deep into the new edicts, anathema, and sanctification system for the Pathfinder player core under the remaster stuff.
I like it. That was a mouthful, but I like it. Yeah.
Most people should understand.
Yeah.
Because remaster is not the technical term because it's not written on any books.
Yeah.
Which has caused a lot of people to... cry about it online.
So this whole time they call it a remaster and
it's a remaster project.
But it's not on any of the books.
They said the books are called remaster version.
I can see how that causes confusion. Like if you're looking for the book and you just see core rulebook and you don't see remaster and you don't know that that's
core rulebook is the old rulebook.
I know, but that's what happened. I looked and I was like, oh, it just says core rulebook. I didn't know that was the remaster. I was looking for remaster.
Well, remaster would be player core.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, but do you see what I'm saying? Like, I was looking for literally the words remaster, and I didn't see it.
I mean, I didn't think it was that confusing a thing. I mean, I didn't make any comments on any of the Facebook posts.
But you, like, follow this shit.
But it's like, exactly.
Yeah. So, like, the normal player, the non-GM, non-following this shit the whole time player is just going to see, you know, the words and not see remaster and not know that that's what the new rules are. It's confusing. It confused me, and I know about the remaster. So, case in point, I mean, I'm also dumb. So, there you go. The end. Oh, the end of the new Shots cast. I like it.
And while this isn't a technical review episode or anything like that, we are still technically using the files that Paizo sent us. So, just to be safe and legal if necessary, we will point out that we were provided.
Yeah,
the player core.
We're not
by
paid
Paizo.
For this episode. We were provided it. We're just doing it because we're doing it.
Well, the being provided the book is usually counts as like the quote unquote sponsorship.
Yeah,
but so we're putting that out there just in case. But our review for this is already out. You can check it out on our podcast feed and actually on
YouTube
as well.
It's on YouTube.
It is on YouTube.
Nice.
Added some pictures from the book, so there's some screenshots from different things there. For the more visual people. But as I mentioned in the review, there's a lot of topics in here that can and deserve a deeper dive.
Yeah, which is what we're doing, right?
Yes, it is.
So we're giving the things that deserve the deeper dive. The deeper dive they deserve.
The things that we feel
that we feel.
Deserve
yeah,
a deeper
of course,
dive.
Of course.
I mean, there may be more, and there may be a bunch that we don't even talk about because it's...
not stuff that we think needs a deeper dive.
Or that we care to deep dive into.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense.
We don't know how deep we're going.
This is exciting.
But the whole edicts, anathema, and sanctification, that there's so much...
controversy.
I was going to say possibility.
Oh, okay.
To that.
Well, I say controversy because, like, I have my feelings, so...
You do?
I do, yeah.
So, why don't we start with your controversial feelings there and see where we got.
Right, like, so, okay... at the risk of sounding and being perceived as dumb about this, I like the fact that they're doing edicts and anathemas as like a character development thing, but I don't think it should replace the alignments. I think they should have figured something out for the alignments because in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, not Call Shots Entertainment, just Kevin, by making anathemas and edicts the moral system, like the alignment system, you pretty much basically make everyone the same alignment. Like, there's no good, there's no lawful, there's no chaotic, and that's the point of it. But, like, everyone's just doing what they want to do now. And there's no, like, grand scheme of, like, cosmic force to put people in groups. I guess that might be a good thing, that might be a bad thing, but
it's
I just...
not necessarily true.
I don't know, because...
that's
I,
where
I,
sanctification comes in.
I guess, but that's another thing, and we'll talk about that later, but, like, can anyone be sanctified?
Anyone can.
Okay.
Well, not everyone. It depends on the deities you follow, because some of them don't allow sanctification.
That's my point, though, is like, and we're going to get into this for those part, that discussion, but like, in my opinion, the alignments kind of dictated how you should be playing your character from a alignment perspective, from a good or evil, lawful and chaotic perspective. You fell on a graph somewhere. And if you, I mean, it's all, at the end of the day, it doesn't make sense anyways. Nothing makes sense, because if you're chaotic good and you follow a bunch of laws, it says in the book that the GM has the ability to move you one step closer to what you're acting. So it doesn't, none of this fucking matters anyways, because the GM could just be like, hey, you're acting very chaotic lately. I'm going to move you to chaotic good instead of neutral good. So it didn't matter anyways. It was just like a labeling system. But if you take role-playing seriously, which some people do and some people don't, if you're lawful good, it kind of puts your character in awkward situations. Because if you go to a country that, you know, slavery is legal, Gyeb, for instance, this is the example I brought up before, you have to be okay with, you don't have to be okay with it, but you can't do anything about it because you have to follow the laws of the land. You have to respect the laws of the land. If you're lawful and you want to stay lawful, you have to follow them. That's a law. You have to follow that law, right?
Well, yeah. However, with second edition, when it came to at least people whose alignment mattered, like champions or something,
yeah.
You had a tier list to follow.
Oh, so like...
So the tenets of good outweighed the tenets of law in a lot of cases.
So like slavery is not a good thing, obviously, but if it was lawful, your dedication to that tier list, good triumphs over law, so you can break your laws to make sure that good is happening.
Good triumphs over laws that are bad.
That are bad.
If the law is good and is...
Hey, you can't like go stealing bread because, you know, it's against the law, but it's for the good. Like, it's a good law. Don't steal. Like, it's not an evil law, but an evil law of like, hey, you can have a bunch of slaves. A lawful good character can go in and be like, all right, I'm going to stop that because I know it might be the law here, but it's not good. It's an evil act. Or raising the dead, so to speak. If it's legal to do it, but it's an evil act, you can stop that. Is that right?
Well, what do you mean by raising dead?
Well, because raising the dead is evil.
Raise dead as in the spell is
like,
bringing someone
undead.
Back to life.
I'm sorry. Undead. Like raising the dead to be undead. Creating undead is an evil act.
Yeah.
But in Geb, is it legal?
Well, yeah, it's kind of what they do
yeah.
there.
So,
I mean,
yeah.
The ruler
so,
is undead.
Yeah, yeah. So it's legal there, but it's an evil act. So a champion who's good would be able to go in there and start killing evil because it's good versus evil, not law versus chaos. And in the tiers, that's okay.
I mean, at that point, we're getting back to the old paladin stuff about lawful stupid, though.
Yeah.
Because if you just walk into Geb and start killing everything that's undead, you're going to end up dead yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
someone.
I know. I get what you're saying.
You won't fall.
You won't fall, but you might fall.
With your deity.
You're going to fall.
But
like,
you're going to fall to your death.
You. Yeah. So, but going back to the main point is I think that, like, anathemas and edicts give you the opportunity to make your character whatever you want it to be. I can take Zelry and I can say, okay, my anathema is to, you know, never let a party member fall without, like, or, like, never leaving a party member behind, let's say. That'd be an anathema, right? Anathemas are bad.
Technically, leave a party member behind
yeah.
would be anathema.
Yeah.
Edict would be never leave
never,
a party member
okay,
behind.
Yeah. So I can make that a part of my character, and that's my personal code. And I can follow that to a T, but it doesn't really tell anyone besides, like, it doesn't tell anyone how I am as a person, just that that's something I don't do.
How does that not tell someone how you are as a person?
Well, because it's just, it's a personal code. Like, I can make stupid stuff a personal code, and it doesn't really tell you how I am morally as a person.
Sure does.
How?
If you're a person who will never leave a comrade behind.
Yeah.
That absolutely tells what kind of person you are.
All right, what if to never leave them behind, I kill them because I'm an evil character? So I didn't leave them behind because they were dead when I left.
Then you're leaving their body behind.
That's not what the edict is.
Well, as in the military, you never leave someone behind. We go in after dead soldiers also.
Okay, so
we don't leave them behind.
Okay, so let's say they're let's say it's Rosman and Cosma and they don't like each other, right?
But Kevin and Mike are okay with each other.
Yeah, Kevin and Mike fully like best of friends. Shout out to Mike. He actually got me $52 yesterday with a bet that he shared with me. So, see, he's a great guy. I like Mike. Cosma, however. So Rosman's like, never leave a person behind. Knowing that Cosma will not leave a fight, he kills him and then brings his body back. Boom. Evil character, but didn't leave his friend behind.
Yes.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, it's your own personal laws. It's your own personal, like, code of conduct. But it without like an alignment system, in my opinion. And like I said, I'll deal with it. Like, it's not like I'm going to be like, okay, well, I'm never going to play Pathfinder because I can't be chaotic neutral or lawful good. I'm not going to do that. But in my opinion, they should allow edicts and anathemas. That should make sense. That's a great thing. It opens up so many possibilities to make your character the way you want to make it. But I think there still should be a way to classify a character's moral system or moral-like being. Like, I know they can't use lawful good, but like something that puts you on that graph somewhere. Because that means that the evil person who's chaotic is the same as the lawful good person because they're just following their edicts and anathemas.
It does make them the same.
It does, though, because there's nothing to classify them unless it's sanctified.
Their actions.
Well, yeah. But like, I'm talking like, I'm going to, meta-wise, there's no alignment anymore. So like, you can't.
There not being alignment doesn't mean people aren't still good. Doesn't mean people aren't still evil.
But it does, because it's not on the paper and people aren't lawful good. They're not good anymore. There's like, you have to have that label.
How are they not good anymore?
Because they can do good stuff. Yeah, but they're not good anymore. They just do good stuff. They follow their anathemas and their edicts.
That makes them good.
Does it? Because like, I'm pretty sure shitbags do good things. I'm pretty sure there's like fucking murderers that like walk people across the street and hold doors for people. That's good things to do, but they're still evil. Yeah, but not now,
the
because
thing,
there's no
the evil
things anymore.
They do outweigh the good that they do.
Yeah, but like, you're not there for all of it. Like, I mean, if we're talking like me as a player, like my character, if someone's listening to the show, yeah, they're there for all of it. So they see all the good things versus evil things, chaotic and law that I do. But like, I like having a system. And it's just me personally. I like having a system that you label yourself and then try to do what you label. Like,
yeah, but they don't see your character sheet. They don't see your label.
Yeah, but they know I'm chaotic good.
How?
Well, if I say it.
You saying it doesn't mean that it's true.
Well, yeah, I get it.
There's a lot of people.
We're
who
getting
are,
a lot of metaphysical.
There's a lot of people who say that they're
like,
chaotic good, but they actually play chaotic neutral.
That's true.
There's a lot of people who choose chaotic neutral, but they're a lot closer to chaotic evil
that
because they try to get
true.
Away with it.
Yeah.
So the letters,
I get it.
The letters they write on their sheet don't necessarily tell what they are.
You're saying that the fact that there's no more alignment doesn't matter. In my opinion, it does. And it's fine. Like, it just bothers me that they got rid of it because it's a system that I liked because I like to role play what I make. So if I make lawful good, it's a challenge to me to play lawful good. With Izar, I never played a character like that. I never played a champion before. You forced that on me. In case anyone...
You asked me to.
Yeah, but, you know, you forced that on me to...
You wanted the challenge.
Listen, let me explain to the listeners.
Don't act like you didn't want this challenge.
I accepted the challenge. I think I stepped up to the challenge. But for the listeners, I went to Jay and I was like, I don't know what to play. Pick the ABCs. Is that right? I did ABCs?
Yeah.
I said, pick the ABCs. He's like, okay. And then I think you did the deity also. You did the D also, which that's kind of funny. So he gives me this character. It is a human. I forget the background, but it's a human champion of Biomedae.
It was one that was tied to
Plague Stone. Yeah. And like, I never cared about alignment. This is why this is so funny to me, is because I never cared about alignment. I'm like, okay, I'll be chaotic neutral because I want to do whatever the fuck I want. That was me. I was always that guy.
That's a lot of people around
this
table.
Yeah, no, I know. So you gave
around
me,
many tables.
You gave me lawful good, and it was such a challenge, but I enjoyed playing that character where it was like, I want to do something chaotic, but I can't. I want to do something neutral, but I can't because I'm lawful good. And that makes me feel like I don't want this system to go away, because now that challenge or that role play capability or need is gone. Like, I don't have to be lawful good because I'm not lawful good anymore. There is no lawful good. So I just have to, like, pick edicts that I want to follow and follow them, and I could be chaotic neutral again.
Well, see, that's where you're wrong, and you wanted to skip over it, but that's where sanctification comes in.
Okay. Well, we were skipping over for when we're talking about sanctification.
Well, it's important for this discussion.
I mean, I didn't realize they were all tied in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it now, but, like...
That's why it's part of this discussion, this deep dive.
Okay, so, but, like, lawful and chaotic are gone then, because there's no sanctification for chaos. There should be. That'd be cool.
Well, it's not sanctification in terms of like lawful good, chaos, evil.
It's good and evil.
generally speaking, is holy and unholy.
Yeah, holy and unholy. Sorry, Paizo. Let me correct that. There's holy and unholy now, which is good and evil.
It's the clerics are specified in the sanctification stuff. And
which I also didn't
champions
like.
Would be also, but they're not in this book.
But they're not in the book
the remaster yet. Yeah. They're not until
Core 2.
But what it comes down to is those types of followers, you are basically set to match your edicts and anathema to that of your deity.
Yeah.
So if the stuff that's in there is good, that's still there. And I don't remember exactly what they call it now. It's in like a special errata for the core rulebook stuff, because it's not out for some of the stuff yet, but they had stuff for playing champions and such. Tenets of Good, I think they renamed it something because good is not the thing anymore that's there, but it's still the same stuff that's there. So things that are generally seen as good, it's still good.
Yeah, I know.
So Izar doesn't get to not be lawful good, so to speak. He still has to follow Iomedae's edicts and anathema.
Yeah, but if it doesn't
break... Which are lawful
break,
and good, if going back.
But if he doesn't break one of those, he can do what he wants. As long as it doesn't break those edicts.
That was always the case.
Well, yeah, but he still had to be lawful good. Sorry, I slipped up there. He still had to be lawful good. So, like, he was labeled lawful good. The actions he took, whether they were against or for the edicts and anathema, still had to be lawful good. But now he just has
to
follow...
But it was already tied into the edicts and anathema.
But, like, it was
like
extra.
Follow the laws of the land as long as they're whatever. That's part of the edicts and anathema.
Yeah, but now there are the tier. How could the tier still be there if there's no good or law or anything? Like, if you're not lawful good, if you're just following edicts, like, I can't go into Geb and, like, save a family that's being, like, I don't know, tortured by undead.
Sure you could.
No, because, like, the law. I have to follow the law. Edicts say that I have to follow the law. But good isn't a thing. Like, good is a thing still, like, but, like, there's the tiers are gone, aren't they? Because the tiers of good and lawful, you said tiers of law.
No, they're still tiers.
So, like, the edicts now list out everything and say that, like, you have to follow the law, but above that, you have to be good. You have to do good things. You have to defeat evil.
Yeah, the things, the edicts that were accounted as, like, the tenets of good before are still there.
They're just not the tenets of good anymore.
They're just not called the tenets of good.
Okay.
Which, the one thing that bothers me about it is they removed lying from paladins.
No,
they removed lying from paladins.
That's, god damn it. I can't make fun of Cosmo anymore.
I don't know why they removed lying.
Because lying isn't good or bad.
I mean, it depends on what you lie about.
That's true, but sometimes lies are good. I can't believe they took lies away.
Yeah, I actually commented on the forums. I'm like, hey, is this right? And I don't think I've checked to see if anyone's responded. So this was a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't check yet to see if anyone responded directly to that. But
well, if anyone's listening to this and knows why they removed lying, let us know. Drop a comment.
I mean, it'd have to be someone from Paizo.
Yeah.
So, that'd be cool.
Maybe Paizo listens. You don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, wouldn't it be cool if Paizo was this big-ass company and they, like, hired people just to listen to, like, random small podcasts and just be like, hey, this one, they asked about us. Let's comment on it. And then they comment on it, like almost like the FBI or, like, Big Brother type shit where they're just, like, listening to all of our shit. Because, like, we all use their content to make content for ourselves. And, yeah, we do the whole legal stuff, like, oh, the stuff that we say is our opinion, but we're using Paizo and it's owned by Paizo company. Like, we do all that shit. I know that we do the legal stuff of it. But wouldn't it be crazy if there was, like, a room with, like, 60 dudes just sitting in a room with headsets, and they're like, all right, guys, I'm listening to this Called Shots episode, and, you know, it's the Shots cast, and they're talking about us specifically, and they want us to comment, can I do that? And some supervisor's like, go for it. And they're like, okay, guys, lying was removed because of this. Enter. Wouldn't that just be fucking crazy?
That would be an insane job to just listen to podcasts.
Wouldn't that be a great job? You could pay me like $6 an hour and feed me. I wouldn't even give a shit. Just
well, I mean, that's illegal. So,
well, yeah. Can you imagine your job being just listening to podcasts?
That would be a pretty crazy job. Anyway, back on topic.
No.
Yep.
No, this is chaos. I'm chaotic good. We're going where we want to go.
This isn't good.
That's fair. I took 25 minutes to just explain how I feel about alignment, which doesn't exist anymore. So I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts?
I think that's an issue with how you look at alignment.
Yeah.
Which was one of the problems is that people looked at it a priori versus a posteriori.
I have no idea what those words mean, Jane. You know that. So I don't know why the fuck you do that when there's only two of us in the room.
Why not?
Because it just...
Because people listen.
Nuh-uh.
Wow.
I don't think so. Not when you use words like prostatary eyes and profilephinid eyes.
Eyes wasn't in any of those.
You're right. Well, so what does that mean?
It's basically knowing something without having prior knowledge and then knowing something after learning it.
Oh, so me all the time. Because I learn a lot when I say things.
Or stuff like 2 + 2, you don't need to learn that it's 4. I mean, you learn
eventually
it,
you do.
But it was 4 before you knew that it was 4.
Oh, I got you. So things are that way before you learn it.
Things that exist and are a certain way without being learned.
Oh, I got you. Got you. So facts. Facts are facts before you learn them.
But yeah, so to speak. So something like using the letters on your sheet as the way to play your character versus the letters on your sheet representing how you play your character.
I got you. I'm sorry, because I've done it wrong this whole time then, right? Because you're saying don't use the letters to like play your character. Play your character and the letters should represent how you're going to play your character. Because like that's how role-playing should be. Like I shouldn't be making decisions based off the letters on my character sheet. I should be doing them because of my character's personal like belief system and what he or she, because Caladri, I should be playing those characters based on what they would do based on the character themselves, not what's written on that sheet. So like I've been doing it wrong this whole time. And like it's crazy, sidetrack, it's crazy that I'm still learning about role playing after I've been doing this for like 20 years.
Well, think about it. Without using a character that hasn't officially been introduced to the world yet.
Great, we'll do that. Let's go with like...
Let's stick with Izar.
Yeah, yeah.
So what you did when it came to Izar a lot of times was you took a look at Iomedae's 10, whatever they're called.
I forget what they're called. The 10 writings or whatever.
10 acts.
Yeah.
The acts of Iomedae.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
yeah.
used that to determine like how you should be as a champion of Iomedae.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be like, oh, well, I'm lawful good, so I have to do this. Mm-hmm. I had
character growth.
I directed your character as a paladin of Iomedae. Mm-hmm. So instead of just going lawful good, you use the lore of the world to determine how that character should act in situations. You used a guide.
And that's why I'm saying I've been wrong before that. Or even now, like even now I fall into it because I don't go... And I think I do better with Rosman. I think I've done better with Zelri. Andri, I'm not even going to talk about Andri because he's not my character anymore, which you bastard.
Currently.
But like before Izar, let's say, I would always look at my character sheet and say, okay, I'm true neutral, so I just have to like be in the middle. Or I would say I'm lawful evil. Well, I've never been awful evil, but I'm lawful good, so I have to follow the law and be good. And that's not the way you should be playing your characters. And this is the point that you were making that I'm kind of understanding now is... The character sheet doesn't need those letters because you're acting the way that your character should be acting based on their upbringing, their deity, their anathema, and edicts. So that's why that replaces the alignment system. But like that's something that's going to be hard not only for me but like others to deal with because they're so used to relying on that alignment. Because not everyone is good like that. Not everyone could role play based on like it's hard to split yourself into two people. You know, I have what I feel, but then I have what Izar or Rosman has to feel. So, like, I can see how that crutch is something that people might rely on, of having that lawful good looking at you on your character sheet. So, like, it's a good thing. Growth is good. They're doing this for obvious reasons. Like, we all know the reasons they're changing things, you know. But, like, it's a way for them to progress the system to not have to rely on letters on your character sheet to roleplay. You're now relying on a personal code that you're creating yourself for your character, which goes into the customization I was talking about. You can make any character you want. Like, oh man, I'm a monk, but I believe that I shouldn't punch and kick people. You know, I mean, it's crazy, but it can happen. You can make that crazy character if you want, and you don't have to be like, well, I'm lawful good. It's you now have edicts and anathemas. So I see the benefit. It's just, it's hard for me because I've always relied on those two letters.
One thing, if you want to play a character who's not a champion, say, who is something that falls under lawful/good, you can still build your edicts and anathema to mimic that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just play that way.
Yeah.
And then you're still, quote unquote, lawful good.
Yeah. I mean, I get it now. Like I said, promethecist, which is the word you use.
It's not, because I don't think that's a word.
No. Whatever you said, like that thing about it was a fact
a
before.
A posteriori?
Yeah, a posterior. That's my butt, isn't it?
Well, not yours.
Say it again.
A posteriori.
A posteriori. One more time.
No.
Yeah, come on, one more.
No, what's
the other one?
A priori.
A priori. And a posteriori. Close. Yeah, like before, it was still the way, going into this conversation, I felt one way, but that didn't change the fact that this is what it was. I just didn't know it. So now I know it, so thank you for that. But like, I still kind of have that feeling that I'm going to miss the alignment system, but then again, I'm probably never going to use it, because I don't think it's brought up that often in the podcast anyways.
Well, most people didn't use it unless they were
paladin,
a champion,
yeah,
or paladin in the old days, a barbarian because they had to be chaotic,
yeah,
a monk because they had to be lawful,
yep,
or a druid because they had to be neutral.
Yeah.
In one,
yeah,
of the aspects.
So like, but now that, like, even now saying that, like, I do, like, I think it's just being stubborn and not wanting to change something that's been there for the entirety of me role-playing. Because there's no use for it. Like you just said, unless you were one of those classes, like, you never really even cared about what it said. You just did what you were going to do because of your character anyways.
And like I said, most, at least around this table, most of the people who played chaotic neutral did the ability to play chaotic evil without being quote-unquote evil.
Evil. Crazy. It's like taking guts and writing on the walls and stuff.
They wrote down CN, uh-huh, but most times were NE to CE, uh-huh, in the stuff that they did.
You're, yeah, like, oh, and now, no, we're all neutral. CSE.
Ah, good one.
Yeah,
good one. I like that.
That was good. Yeah, look at me go. That was a posterior.
You're making an a posterior out of yourself over,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. Don't I always?
Frequently, I guess.
You know, next topic or next point.
So there, like, my thing is, like, you can make a lot of characters based on this now. Just, and I mean, just think the difference. Now, technically, yes, as a champion, you're supposed to follow the ones from your deity.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing says that you can't add or subtract extra ones to that.
Well, you can't subtract extra.
Well, subtract, yeah. So, what I mean is, nothing says you can't add to the edicts or the anathema. So subtract anathema is what I was getting at, but it's really adding to either of them.
Yeah, I knew what you were getting at. It was funny.
So no one that has heard both Izar and Cosma would link them to being anything the same at all.
No.
But they are both champions, paladins.
I was going to say, it's the same exact character, like build-wise. It's a paladin, Iomade, like, retributive strike, like everything's the same, but like Izar carries a long sword and Cosma doesn't, and that's a big thing. Some people believe that the paladins of Iomade pride themselves on carrying the same weapon as their deity, but like Cosma doesn't, and that's okay. Like, that's the thing, and this is no way, like, I'm kind of teasing him a little bit, but like, that was his choice, both Mike and Cosma's choice. Like, you don't have to do that. It's not an edict, it's not an anathema, it's a respect thing, and most paladins respect the deity enough and want to follow in the footsteps. Cosma doesn't, and that's okay.
Well, and you look back far enough in our episodes, too. Cosma was looking to pretty much leave the party as soon as he could.
Yeah, he was.
Because he couldn't stand...
You could say Rosman.
Well, it wasn't just Rosman.
It was the chaoticness of the party.
Yeah. And without there being a reason to keep him with it, he would not have stayed with the party. And he just let all that stuff get to him. Now, sure, this has Rosven and Organa, but the last party had a different Organa.
And a different version of Rosven, like another character like Rosven.
Yeah, A Sancti. And not even just Sancti, too, because... You had Sancti, but you also had Andalana.
Who hated everyone. And thought she was better than
Murder
everyone. What's that?
What?
What'd you say?
Murdered Finnick, what?
Murdered Finnick, yeah. And then Algid, who was there and like sided with Andalana a lot and went and did whatever. It was like two versions of Organa and Rosven, but for different things. And then there was Izar just trying to hold everything together. There was a nickname of Dadzar because Izar kept having to reel people in.
Yeah, he had at least the same amount of challenges.
I would say more.
Dealing with the party.
I would say more.
As Cosma does.
I would say more. Because of Sancti, I would say more.
I said at least, which means it's at least even.
I would say more.
And the way that they reacted to the party. Dadzar versus
Quit Zama.
Out, bitches. I'm out of here.
Quit Zama. Or, yeah.
Yeah. Same, but again, same class, same deity, literally same edicts and anathema.
Well, in this new system, I feel there would be different edicts and anathemas that we would have, if we would have created them, that would have been created for each character.
Yeah.
Because I think Cosmo wouldn't make an edict or an anathema about caring for his party. I don't think he would, but I think Izar would. I think Izar would have like a personal code about not quitting on people. And like
Izar would have an edict not to drink anymore.
Exactly. I don't think he did he?
No, I don't think it came up a whole lot.
I think there were times where
I started the show almost immediately trying to get you to drink with a character that was in the caravan with you. Mm-hmm. And then there were other times like
we were in the bar, I would always order water.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah. So, I mean, for you, that would be an edict.
Yeah.
To not drink anymore.
Yeah. And that's something that would be per the character, not the class, not the race, well, ancestry, sorry. That's an edict that I would have created for my character specifically that Cosmo wouldn't have to. Cosmo would have no need
to. Yeah, he wouldn't have but no need to have he an might anti-drinking
have,
edict.
He might have had an anathema or an edict, whichever way you want to word it, to, you know, not go to picnics. Spoiler. Or like never.
That's a weird one.
Or like never to be without your weapon. Never to be defenseless.
Yeah.
Like that's not something you need to have an edict for or an anathema for. But his character would feel so in depth about.
I mean, I might say that for him, I think letting guard down might be more anathema than necessarily making an edict out of something else. Because that was a failing that he had. So I'd say it's more anathema to him than an edict.
So can we, because I've never understood, like, I know what both of them mean. Like, an edict is something you're not supposed to do, and anathema is supposed to be, vice versa. An anathema is something you're not supposed to do. Like, for Shaylin, you're not supposed to destroy art.
Correct.
Okay, but an edict is make sure art doesn't get destroyed, or, like, be peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, so what do the breakdowns of the words or the meanings mean? Like, so why would you say that it would be an edict rather than an anathema to never let your guard down?
Well, think of it like, without going to Google or dictionary.com.
I can't. My phone's over there.
We'll say that, like, edict is things that you want to make sure happen. Anathema are things that you can't stand happening.
Oh. Oh, okay. So that makes a lot more sense. And that's why that would be an edict, because it's you personally trying not to let that happen again. That makes sense.
Also because of the history of it, when it happened to him. That's why it's a more anathema for him for that.
All right. So that makes more sense. And then because of that, essentially you're making a system in which you kind of have, if you make your edicts and anathemas right, you kind of have that lawful good / chaotic good system based on your edicts. If you're playing your edicts, you're playing your alignment essentially.
Yeah, like anathema is stuff that you can't stand doing and will destroy you to do.
Yeah.
Edicts are things that you have to do to keep your stuff going, basically.
Keep your stuff going. That is the best way to word that, I think. You gotta keep your stuff going.
Keep true to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be like you saying you're relevant. Is that a word? Is that the word? What's the thing? Irregardless. Irregardless. It's like you saying irregardless.
I'm not going to.
Exactly, because it's not a word. So that's an edict.
No.
Be saying that.
No, me saying it would be anathema.
Oh, that's it. Okay. I'm still a little confused on this, but you know what I'm saying. Like, there are things that, like, you couldn't bring yourself to do. That's an anathema. And an edict is stuff that you have to do to make yourself feel like you are fulfilling yourself as a person, that code that you're trying to uphold.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you. Like, I like these things where it's me and you and nobody else, because like the two of us, our personalities are so different, but also like very similar in aspects. But like, I think I keep you relaxed because of my silly, and you get me serious and teach me stuff. like we're definitely the comedy duo where there's like the serious one and the silly one. And like, I think it works. But also when we have conversations like this, we don't have like arguments or stupid people around the table just being like, this is how it's supposed to be and I hate you for it, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just when the two of us get together, and this is why, this is the same reason I think Two Guys, One stream works well, is because Mike and I have a different dynamic than you and I have. But like, when it's the two of us on like Minecraft, it's us hanging out and we like do well. But then like, it's the same aspect with like me and Mike, just like a different style, I guess. So I
certainly
just,
different, you know, style.
But I just wanted, like, I like that. I want the Called Shots cast to continue, but I would prefer if it was just the two of us. More people are great, but I just think that the point of the show gets more to the point when it's just the two of us, which is crazy to say for me, because
you say that as ADHD. We're on such a tangent of what this episode is.
Yeah, we're 44 minutes in and we haven't even touched what we were supposed to be talking about.
Well, we have.
Oh yeah, but this was supposed to be a half hour episode. Those were your words. Oh, we can just deep dive. It'll be a half hour on this topic. And I'm like, not with me here.
Well, see, that's kind of what it ends up being. Like, this is, like I said, this is similar to how I kind of wanted our gas to go. I would rather it not be me just sitting there listing out a bunch of stuff that happened in the episode.
Yeah, it's supposed
you
to be,
chiming
it's
in
better
every
to be a
now
discussion.
And again. I'd like there to be stuff to discuss.
Well, which is why I try to have notes and try to like listen to the episode as I edit it, but it's hard because I edit in a weird way, but the end.
You edit in a weird way, yeah. Did you say the end after one sentence?
I did. Because I didn't want to go further into it. But like, yeah, I edit in such a weird, I can't do it. I can't go straight forward. Like,
that's fine.
I don't understand why.
It's referred to as non-linear editing.
Yeah. Is it a thing?
Nonlinear editing is a thing.
You just pick a spot and edit and then go and pick another spot? Or is it like backwards?
It's based on older technology a lot of times. Actually, no, that's more based on newer technology. Linear editing was like an older stuff where you had to, you basically would film something or record something in the order it's supposed to happen. I guess movies didn't really do that either. I guess it really just turned down to technology.
I actually saw something about this. It's really interesting. There's like certain places, certain movies, so when like a director like rents out a scene, like rents out a location, they do all the scenes for that location.
Yeah,
because they don't want to rent it out multiple times.
Yeah.
So it's very rare, it's very rare for a movie to be filmed from scene one to the end scene in succession. But there are some directors who prefer to do it because you see the actors grow. So I think it was one movie, the actors were supposed to be tired, like look tired at the end of the movie. So the director did it in order so that by the time they got to that point, they were tired looking because they've been recording or, you know, like filming for that long.
It's definitely easier for short projects too than like blockbuster movies.
Yeah, you're
such.
Not seeing fucking, you know, Endgame being filmed from start to finish. It's just not going to happen because it can't happen. But like, there are movies that do it that way. That's really interesting. Tangent.
Did a lot of that stuff in college. So that's...
Oh, in film school?
No, it wasn't film school.
In college where you got a degree in this shit?
Yeah.
And that's why you're so much better than everyone at it. Around the table. I mean, like me and like when I film something, I'm like, yeah, we'll just film it. It's great. And you're like, I got this. And then you come in with like production value. And I'm like, what the fuck is this dude?
Yeah, but that ends up hurting us in a lot of times,
I'm
too.
Just trying to film you dipping an Oreo in iced tea, bro. And you're like, no, we got to do it this way. The box has to be there. So
continuity,
like,
man.
It's continuity, which I think we broke continuity in that video. I think
probably
iced tea was slightly to the left.
Yeah, probably. But we didn't have markers to put on for things.
We should have had markers, dude. Ah, dude.
But alas,
it's out
my kitchen is not a studio.
It is not. I mean, your living room is not a studio either.
No, but it's much closer than my kitchen is.
We've got microphones.
Yeah, and a table and computers set up and audio interfaces and cables all over the fucking place. And there's things for sound dampening that aren't really used.
Hey, I provided it, man. I did my part.
Oh, I know. I started.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
That's what that is right there?
Yep.
Or were you going to just put that on the wall right there? Yep.
But I'm like, this isn't going
to
work.
You know how much you would need to be able to fill this entire
room? A lot.
Room? Not enough that I brought.
Oh, God, no. That maybe gets that one back wall.
And it's
because
of
how small it is.
How small it is, yeah.
But anyway.
Man, we've been doing this a while.
We have.
I don't mean this episode either.
2019.
Yeah.
I think is when our first.
That's crazy.
Our first Called Shots Cast was Called Shots Cast.
Yeah, released. It's a mouthful, right? We need to shorten it. Just the Shots Cast, maybe. Because I know the called has to be there because we're called shots, but like, it's such a mouthful, man. Trying to say, oh, this was Called Shots Cast. It's like, it's easy to say,
but it there.
Shut up. But it's like you stumble sometimes. But yeah, we've been doing this a long time, bro.
Yeah. The only other point that I really wanted to bring up regarding
Anathema and Edicts?
Edicts and Anathema, at least from a character standpoint, is I always had an issue with the alignment for Wraith.
Why?
Because Wraith was an assassin.
Which means he professionally killed people, which seems like a very evil thing to do.
But is it?
It depends on who you're killing. Because I feel like an assassin who kills, you know, dictators is a good person. Is
Ezio evil?
No.
Altair?
No. So are we talking about, it depends. Is Wraith an assassin for money?
Well, it doesn't do it for free.
Okay, so, but he does.
But he would only take targets that he chose to accept.
Okay, so he's like, I want to do this for the good of the world, but only if I get money out of it.
Well, I mean, it's a job. If you have a skill, you should get paid for it.
Yeah, I agree, but like,
and if you're taking a lot of risk in something like assassinating someone, you should get something for it.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a murderer.
But, well,
that's
he is.
That's the definition of an assassination.
Legalized, it's still murder.
Yeah, it's still murder, but it's an assassination is usually like a political. It's an important person.
Part of the thing for defining murder is premeditation. Premeditation, yeah. An assassination is nothing if not premeditated.
Yeah, 100%. But
HDP.
HDP. But I was always taught that the term assassination is if it's an important figure.
It's political a lot of times.
It's political or an important figure. And like, if you're getting paid for it, you're an assassin. You're a professional. But like, murder isn't something, in my opinion, murder isn't something you get paid for.
Generally, no.
Yeah. Because then it becomes, if you're getting paid for it.
Because murder is often a crime of passion.
Yeah. But it's premeditated still, but it's a crime of passion. It's not about money. But an assassination, in my opinion, assassination is always money or, you know, an agreement.
Yeah.
So he got paid for it. And that was his job, and he was getting paid for his skills, but he was killing people he deemed necessary to die.
Contracts for people he deemed worthy of assassination.
So with the standard alignment, because murder is bad, well, he would be chaotic, because I'm pretty sure every place has a law that says don't murder people.
Yes, but he followed a specific code that he would only assassinate certain people.
Yes, but
which goes to lawful.
Which goes to lawful, but
because remember, it's when his it came code. To lawful mm-hmm. in the alignment thing, following a personal code also fell under lawful. It didn't necessitate the laws of the land.
Yeah, so he was lawful, but chaotic.
But chaotic.
But lawful. And he was good, but evil, because he's still killing people, but he's doing it based on his personal code of whether or not
which
they deserve to die.
Which doesn't necessarily make it good, but he wasn't.
But it was for the good, because he wouldn't kill people that didn't necessarily need to, like, he felt didn't need to die. Like, he chose contracts that he thought were for the better good, for the greater good.
Well, sort of like a Dexter, almost. Not at that level, but he killed bad people.
Can we switch it up to someone else? Because if we talk about Dexter without Mike here, not that he'll know, he'll be upset. But like, but that's the thing. So
his ears probably just went. Yeah, someone's talking about
his
Dexter right now.
His dick went down. He got hard because we mentioned Dexter on the podcast. But
be waiting, he'll run over here and knock. Talk about Dexter.
Hey guys, I heard you guys talking about my dark passenger got me here. but that's the thing. Is like. With the alignment system, your character becomes more difficult to define. But with the edicts and anathemas,
also an assassin was a prestige class, which required being evil.
Which doesn't make sense, because then your character couldn't be made without being evil. But he wasn't evil. So essentially, full circle. Now I'm going to be the one to throw this out because I'm understanding it. The alignment system actually restricted your characters more than gave them the freedom to do what they wanted.
At least Wraith, yeah.
At least Wraith. But, like, that's a lot of characters are probably like that.
Yeah.
So, this way...
A lot of people, I know you enjoyed it and stuff, but it's no surprise to anyone who's listened to us at all before that I have way more toes or feet or whatever into this world than anyone else does in terms of, like, jumping on forums or following rules, all that kind of shit. there's a shit ton of people out there who had already removed alignment from their games.
Like before the remaster.
Before the remaster.
Because of the fact that it's shit. It is shit when you think about it that way.
Before PF2, people really? Yeah, people hate the alignment system. It is very bigly hated as people.
Widely? Widely hated?
Yeah.
Bigly is not wrong. Yeah. So in your opinion, and just your opinion, not no facts on this, but do you think that the Edicts and Anathema system that they put in place replaces the alignment system, or does it just make it that you can still have that morality to your character without, like, while still removing the alignment system? Does that question make sense? Do you think it replaces alignment, or do you think it's just another system and it has nothing to do with alignment, but it kind of gives the okay to get rid of alignment?
I'm going to say, based on the way the rules are actually written for it, that it is not a replacement for alignment, because alignment was something that you had to choose for a character. Edicts and Anathema, it says in there that you don't need to have them.
I actually did notice that when I read it. It was like, your character can have these or they cannot. So like, I kind of agree on that, of the fact that, yeah, it doesn't replace it because it's not necessity when alignment was.
Though, it's a tool to help flesh out your character. Like, I don't know why I didn't start doing it earlier, honestly, but relatively recently, I put together that questionnaire.
Yeah. Which was all about morality.
A lot of it was. I was trying to think of other ways, like other things to put out there, but it was a bunch of scenarios where if X, then what is your Y type thing.
Which showed morality.
And everyone, you know, yeah, it was like to show morality, but yeah. It was like the lead up questions weren't really like scenarios. They're like things like
who are your parents?
How do you take your coffee?
Yeah. Yeah, which I didn't understand what that meant. Like, why does that matter?
It paints a bigger picture or better picture of your character.
Why?
Why not?
Oh, so a character who drinks his coffee black paints a different picture than a character who drinks it with cream and sugar?
Said it paints a better picture.
Why?
Because you know more about your character now.
I know that I drink my coffee black.
Okay.
What does that say about my character?
It says that you drink your coffee black.
Okay, but that doesn't tell you anything about my character.
But in a situation... It doesn't have to tell me anything about your character.
Okay.
And some people do think, you know, drinking black coffee versus tainting it with milk and sugar.
You walk into the room. Thing. On the table is a cup of coffee with milk and sugar and a note that says, drink it or the prisoners die. And you're like, fuck that. I only drink my coffee black, as you sweep the coffee and the cream and sugar off the table. Fuck those prisoners. Like, what is knowing your character drinks the coffee black have anything to do? Are we getting deep with it?
Not everything has to be someone dies situation.
What's the point of the questionnaire if it doesn't add anything to your character?
It's supposed to help you get into the mindset of your character.
So, like, if I'm answering that question and I'm like, so Undri, he's not an abrasive person. So, like, he wouldn't like the bitter taste of a black coffee. He would want something sweet in the morning for that kick, that pep. So, like, it's not about the coffee itself. It's about being in the mindset of Undri when he wakes up to make the cup of coffee.
Yes. And if a situation not coffee related.
Guys, new alignment system.
Comes up.
New alignment system. B is neutral. Black. C and S, cream and sugar, chaotic or lawful good. Milk, not cream, milk and sugar, chaotic good. Mayonnaise.
That's disgusting.
There's a
That's
football
chaotic
player.
Evil.
Yeah, yeah.
That's chaotic
There's
evil.
There's a football player. His name is Will Levis. He's on the Titans. He has an endorsement with Hellman's, I believe, right now because he puts mayonnaise in his coffee.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's eggs and oil.
It's disgusting.
So, and a lot of people do that for keto. It's called bulletproof. You put like butter in your coffee. I feel like you could put mayonnaise for the fat because you got to do what you got to do when it comes to keto. So yeah, that would be evil. Obviously, just there's no chaotic or law. If you put mayo, it's just evil. And yeah, so, but I do get that. I understand. But like questionnaires.
But that's a lot of it was to get yourselves in the mindset of a character, because a character otherwise without like the little things like that. A lot of times a character is just stuff on a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
But especially in a show, but this is how I really always want my games to be. Characters should be people.
Mm-hmm.
They should have desires, wants, likes, dislikes. And this helps build the character.
It builds the world too, because you can't just have regular character. You can't just have random people. You need to have like full people in your games. And like, I get this because the podcast has made me more of the other side. So there's an offline game we have right now for Kingmaker, and I play Dawson. And this is a character that I played years ago for Kingmaker with you as the GM. And the difference between Dawson now and then is night and day. Dawson back then was a rogue. He's a rogue now, but he was all about the stats. Like, I made a backstory, but I didn't really play towards the backstory. He was just, I do what I want. It was he was chaotic neutral, and I did what I want, and that's why I made it. And then when I made him for this, because of the podcast, I don't make characters just to make characters now. I make characters for their story, for their background. I make them into actual people, which thank you for the podcast and for being able to like kind of teach me that. Because we had to do it for the show. And like, it's the same character, but it's night and day because of what I put into the character. And now, with the chains of alignment gone, like, our characters going forward, or even these characters now, we can make anathemas and edicts for. We can really open up and make these characters more fleshed out to what they are rather than just lawful good. So that's something. The end. Gotta go with it. I'm gonna get a shirt that just says the end.
What I like about this, and this might be a good point to end it on, wrap this up here.
To edit on? You're going to edit this out?
End it on.
Okay, I was like, we're editing this out? All right.
I like how you went from asking about the point of the cup of coffee to thanking me for putting the cup of coffee question on the question. It's basically,
I didn't thank you for the cup of coffee question.
You thanked me for being able to build characters instead of just building stats on a sheet. And that's what it was.
Yeah.
So essentially,
you step back
a little bit.
No.
Why do you care about the coffee? Thank you for the coffee.
Thank you for that's not what I said.
No, that's what it was.
It was the change in me because of the podcast. I think the cup of coffee question is still fucking stupid, but I do see what you're saying. Like, it's not about the coffee. It's not about how you drink the coffee. It's about sitting down to answer the question. You have to think about how your character would answer the question. Which I did notice, thanks to your questionnaire minus the coffee question, I did start, early on, I started writing he for the answers. Like, oh, he has a brother, he has mother or father, to I. And when that happened, I noticed that switch and I was like, why am I doing it as I when it's talking about my character? Because I'm talking about my character. I'm not talking as my character. So that's even proof right there. Like, it works. Like, questionnaires work, even though people like might be like, why are we filling this out? It's stupid. Like, it has nothing to do with the game. Why are we doing it? It gets you into that. Like, I started using I. I'm like, yeah, I think I would do it. I'm like, why am I doing that? It's like, because I'm thinking I'm as my character when I started answering those later questions. So it does work, even though the coffee question is stupid. It does do, like, subconsciously does slip you into the character, which is what you want when you're filling out that questionnaire. And then when you're playing, you think more as your character. I think I've even asked you this before. Like, should I say for the podcast? I was like, when this was early, I think. I was like, when we're doing the podcast, should I say my character's name or I? Because, like, if I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this attack or Rosvin does this, those are two different things, but it's the same, like, it's the same point. But, it, like, I wanted to know how the audience should perceive it. And you answered, you were like, it doesn't really matter, but like, if you do it as I, you're in character, and if you do it as Rosvin, you're speaking third person, or second person, for someone else's name?
Well, usually it's still third person, you're referring to someone else, but when that someone else is an avatar of you that you're controlling, I don't know.
That's a really good question, but that's the thing, is like, it got, like, the podcast got me thinking about even that, of like, should I be saying, oh, well, I'm going to go here and I'm going to use hunted shot versus Rosvin goes here and Rosvin uses shot, like hunted shot. So like, there wasn't a question when I started talking, but I guess I'm going to wrap it up into like, what do you think is better for a show or for like role play? Is it better to be in character and say I, or is it not?
Maybe that's something we can discuss on the next deep dive.
Maybe.
So I like, we should.
Yeah. Write that down.
We'll do. But so being that, we're going to call this one here.
We didn't talk about sanctification.
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
Holy and unholy.
Yeah,
is
we didn't really get into it, though.
Yes, we did.
Nah.
Sanctification is actually pretty small.
I had so many fucking questions, Jay.
Kevin.
I had so many questions. Rapid fire. Can anyone be sanctified?
I told you that already.
No.
It's okay. Up to the deity.
Okay. The rules are written under the cleric, and we think that they're going to be under the paladin.
Oh, they're definitely going to be under
They're
going to
be under the paladin. But that means
or champion.
If I'm a druid and I'm a druid of Phrasma, I don't have to be
Phrasma
sanctified.
No, Phrasma does not do sanctification.
Okay. Bad example because she's neutral, right? It's not good.
Neutral's not a thing anymore, but
well,
yes.
She's not holy or unholy.
Correct.
So I have a druid who is a druid of Iomade.
I
don't have to be sanctified, but I can choose to be.
Correct.
Can any follower of a deity that says unholy or holy or neither, whatever, can they choose to sanctify?
So when it comes to it, the deities list like must choose.
Yeah, yeah.
And those ones have to if they're a cleric or
paladin, but they can choose a champion, but they
can
if it's another.
Yeah.
So if it's a deity that can be holy or unholy, the cleric and the champion have to choose one side or the other.
Yeah, you can't choose both.
You can't choose both, but can you choose neither? Because I saw in there that it said that you can.
The champion
can't.
Cleric cannot. Champion probably cannot. We don't know for sure yet, yeah. but based on the stuff that's been said, it's pretty clear that a paladin or champion
question,
also cannot.
Because the entire sanctification process or part is about good. Holy versus unholy. It's
Correct.
A battle between those. In my opinion and in how I read it, any class can be sanctified then. Because if you believe in that deity, it's about the deity. It's not about the class.
The class doesn't get sanctified.
The person
the character
does.
Yeah. Or the person is
So that means
sanctified.
If I'm a barbarian of Iomade, again, weird, but I want to defeat evil, unholy, I can sanctify myself or I can get sanctified as holy.
Yeah.
In theory. But it doesn't have to be. The only one that has to is if the deity states it and it's a cleric or, and
champion.
Let's say, and champion.
Yeah.
So that was my first question. The other question I had was, can you just choose not to? Like, I know that there's some rules that say yes or no, but like, if you have a deity that says it can be holy or unholy, can you then stay in the middle ground and not sanctify at all?
If you're not a cleric and not a champion, absolutely.
Okay. So the clerics and the champions have to choose a side.
They have to be sanctified.
They have to be sanctified.
Their deity chooses a side for them, generally speaking.
Yeah, but if there is a deity that goes both ways. Because I think it did say it in the sanctified rules that, not the cleric sanctified rules maybe, but it said that they can choose to stay neutral. They can choose not to sanctify if the deity is both good and evil. I would look it up, but I threw my phone on the couch. So,
because
if you follow a deity that goes both ways, you're basically staying out of the argument. Which
well,
should be okay because it's the
that
same
go
deity.
Both ways generally aren't going to mandate.
That okay, so that's where it becomes a thing where the mandate is only for the deities that go one way or the other. Because it's a fight between good and evil. So a good deity would be like, all of my followers need to be good to defeat evil, and vice versa for evil. But if a deity doesn't give a shit, they don't care about the fight versus good or evil.
Because I just looked up Gorum, because Gorum is either or. Mm-hmm. It says for sanctification, can choose holy or unholy.
Which means you don't have to if you pick a deity. And I get it. Like from a character standpoint, like a roleplay standpoint, you would want to choose good or evil. Because you're a cleric of this deity, you would want to choose. From a player standpoint, just trying to like go through the game, I can see it where you wouldn't want to choose to get extra damage from evil or good characters. From a meta perspective, which I know that's not why you should build your characters, but... From a meta perspective, if you're a deity that's both good and evil, you wouldn't really necessarily want to pick one because you're going to get extra damage, but you're also going to get hit harder, and maybe you just don't want to be in that fight. Then again, Gorum is all about fighting, isn't it? Is that the point?
Yeah.
Also, you can change your attunement. Like you can, if your character feels the other way, you can change your sanctification, correct?
It looks like...
With the attuned ritual.
Like looking more into it also that with the devotees, which are going to be the clerics and stuff, that mm-hmm. it says can choose, that they don't have to choose one either.
Okay. So clerics can not choose either.
Seems that way.
That's interesting. And I would mean, we don't assume, but I figure that would be the same for champions. Then if you pick a deity that has both, you can choose.
Well, champions
might be a little different.
Aren't going to be generally under deities that have...
That's fair.
Both, because there's a champion for each alignment, so mm-hmm. to speak.
Yeah.
Which that's going to be weird when that stuff comes out because the alignments are gone.
So how...
Yeah, that's just strange to see how that's going to turn out.
I'm excited to see how they do that because champions literally are made for good and evil. Like there's good champions, good and evil champions. How are you going to take good and evil out of it? How are you going to take alignment out of it and still have champions? We'll talk about that in the next episode of Deep Dive.
Well, that deep was for something else.
But. I know. Deep in it with Kevin and Jay. I don't know. But those are, like I said, those are valid questions. But like, sanctification seems really cool.
Well, best we can do is try to predict based on the errata that was put out for core rulebook stuff to cover the champion. But we're not going to know for sure
for the next like 6 or 8 months.
March or some shit next year, oh, wow. Whatever the hell it is.
2024.
Okay, yeah.
So not like March 20, not a year and a half from
no,
now.
No, no, no.
All right. I was like,
2024. I don't remember really fucking when. It might actually be around Gen Con next year. One's coming out like March,
Gen Con,
April-ish.
We'll be there. Come see
one's
us.
Coming out around Gen Con.
Yeah.
One's going to be Monster Core. The other's going to be Player Core 2. Player Core 2 might actually be the later one. I don't recall off the top of my head. But anyway.
All right. Outro. Go. Boom. Anyway, re-outro.
Thanks for joining us here again.
Again.
Thanks for joining us for this. Stop back for the next one and all the other stuff we put out as well.
Yeah.
We will see you guys in the next one. I'm Jason.
Kevin. They won't see us because we listen.
Well, I mean,
they'll hear us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peace out, everybody.
Later.